Welcome to Zichu Daf Simanim. I'm Rabbi Avram Golder, and today Masechus Baba Basra, Daf Kuf Ein Off, the 10th parak, Gap Pashut. So the three topics we're going to focus on. Number one, Braisa discusses a shtar whose recorded date falls out on Shabbos or Yom Kippur, meaning the sword date was written, so the date is clearly inaccurate. Rabbi Yehuda says shtar mu'ukhruhu b'kasher. It's assumed to be a post-dated shtar and therefore valid. Rabbi Yossi says it's invalid. Rabbi Yehuda asked him that he himself once validated such a shtar. Rabbi Yossi replied that he only validated in this case where the date fell on Shabbos or Yom Kippur. The Gemara asks Rabbi Yehuda was discussing the same case, and Rabbi Pedas explains that if the shtar's date corresponds to Shabbos or Yom Kippur, all agree it's valid because it's self-evident that the shtar's date is inaccurate. The argument is b'shtar mu'ukhar ba'alma, an ordinary post-dated shtar with no indication that it's post-dated. Rabbi Yehuda, who holds we do not write receipts for payments, rather the shtar's return, validates the shtar mu'ukhar because it cannot cause any harm. Rabbi Yossi invalidates it because he holds we write a shtar, so a post-dated loan document enables the lender to collect a second time, claiming it's a different loan. Point number two, Rav Huna Breid Rav Yeshua says that even according to Rabbi Yossi that we write receipts, Hani Mili Apalga, this is only for partial payment of all Kule Lo, but for the entire debt, we do not write a shover, so he can refuse to pay if the lender claims to have lost the shtar. However, the Gemara concludes that we do write a shover on the entire amount, as evidenced by an incident in which Rabbi Abba owed money to Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Yosef, who'd lost the shtar, but offered to write a shover for the full amount. Rabbi Abba objected that Rabbi Shmuel ruled we do not write a shofar to enable collection, but Rabbi Yitzchak replied that Rabbi Yochanan, Reish Lakish, and Rabbi Elah ruled we do write a shofar. The Gemara says it's logical to write a shofar because otherwise, if the lender loses the shtar, Yocha Hala Vachade, the borrower should eat the money and rejoice over his exemption from paying. Abai asks that the same injustice befalls a borrower who loses his shofar, but Rabbi responds that this is appropriate because Eved Lova Ishmalva, the borrower is a slave to the lender. And point number three, Rav Hamnuna says that a shtar mu'ukhar is only valid for a loan, but post-dated documents of sale are invalid because someone may sell property in Nisan and write a date of Tishrei in the shtar. Later, the seller may buy back the land before Tishrei, and the original buyer can present his shtar afterwards and falsely claim, Hadar Zavant Minach, I bought it from you again. The Gemara asks that the same concern applies to a post-dated loan document if the borrower receives a shofar where the lender says he lost the shtar, and it answers that Rav Hamnuna holds, we do not write a shofar. Rav Kahana was asked that nowadays we write post-dated shtaros and receipts. He answered that we write explicitly that the shtar is post-dated. However, Rav Kahana was asked that we do not follow that policy, and he answered that we follow Rav Safra's policy to tell the scribes that if they know the loan document's date, they should record it in the shofar, and if not, they should leave the shofar undated, so whenever the lender will present the shtar, the borrower can counter with the shofar. So once again, the three points are, number one, a braisa discusses a shtar whose recorded date falls out on Shabbos or Yom Kippur, meaning the sower date was written, so the date is clearly inaccurate. Rav Yehuda says, shtar mu'ukhruhu b'kasher. It's assumed to be a post-dated shtar and therefore valid. Rav Yossi says it's invalid. Rav Yehuda asked him that he himself once validated such a shtar. Rav Yossi replied that he only validated in this case where the date fell on Shabbos or Yom Kippur. The Gemara asks Rabbi Yehuda was discussing the same case, and Rabbi Pedas explains that if the shtar's date corresponds to Shabbos Yom Kippur, all agree it's valid because it's self-evident that the shtar's date is inaccurate. The argument is b'shtar mu'ukhar ba'alma, an ordinary post-dated shtar with no indication that it's post-dated. Rabbi Yehuda, who holds we do not write receipts for payments, rather the shtar's return, validates the shtar mu'ukhar because it cannot cause any harm. Rabbi Yossi invalidates it because he holds we write a shtar, so a post-dated loan document enables the lender to collect a second time, claiming it's a different loan. Point number two, Rav Huna Breid Rav Yeshua says that even according to Rabbi Yossi that we write receipts, Hani Mili Apalga, this is only for partial payment of all Kule Lo, but for the entire debt, we do not write a shofar, so he can refuse to pay if the lender claims to have lost the shtar. However, the Gemara concludes that we do write a shofar on the entire amount, as evidenced by an incident in which Rabbi Abba owed money to Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Yosef, who'd lost the shtar, but offered to write a shofar for the full amount. Rabbi Abba objected that Rabbi Shmuel ruled we do not write a shofar to enable collection, but Rabbi Yitzchak replied that Rabbi Yochanan, Reish Lakish, and Rabbi Elah ruled we do write a shofar. The Gemara says it's logical to write a shofar because otherwise, if the lender loses the shtar, Yocha Hala Vachade, the borrower should eat the money and rejoice over his exemption from paying. Abai asks that the same injustice befalls a borrower who loses his shofar, but Rabbi responds that this is appropriate because Eved Lova Ishmalva, the borrower is a slave to the lender. And point number three, Rav Hamnuna says that a shtar mu'ukhar is only valid for a loan, but post-dated documents of sale are invalid because someone may sell property in Nisan and write a date of Tishrei in the shtar. Later, the seller may buy back the land before Tishrei, and the original buyer can present his shtar afterwards and falsely claim, Hadar zavant minach, I bought it from you again. The Gemara asks that the same concern applies to a post-dated loan document if the borrower receives a shover where the lender says he lost his shtar, and it answers that Rav Hamnuna holds, we do not write a shover. Rav Kahana was asked that nowadays we write post-dated shtaros and receipts. He answered that we write explicitly that the shtar is post-dated. However, Rav Kahana was asked that we do not follow that policy, and he answered that we follow Rav Safra's policy to tell the scribes that if they know the loan document's date, they should record it in the shofar, and if not, they should leave the shofar undated, so whenever the lender will present the shtar, the borrower can counter with the shofar. All right, so now we go to our Simdav Kuf Ein Av, and this sim was suggested to us by Shmuel Feder from Far Rockaway, New York. He suggested that Kuf Ein Av is chaos. Chaos, and we're going to represent chaos by a messy office. So here goes. In the lender's messy, chaotic office, where a shtar whose recorded date fell on Yom Kippur was assumed to be a shtar mo'uchar, when the lender who couldn't find a shtar had a sofer write a shover for the borrower who paid back in full, the sofer made sure to leave the shover undated because he knew that the shtar had been post-dated. Once again, slow motion. In the lender's messy, chaotic office, that must be on daf kuf ein off, chaos. In the lender's messy, chaotic office, where a shtar whose recorded date fell on Yom Kippur was assumed to be a shtar mo'uchar, which reminds us, a brisa discusses a shtar whose recorded date falls out on Shabbos or Yom Kippur, meaning the solar date was written, so the date is clearly inaccurate. Rav Yehuda says, shtar mo'uchar hu v'kasher. It's assumed to be a post-dated shtar and therefore valid. Rav Yossi says it's invalid. So in the lender's messy, chaotic office, where a shtar whose recorded date fell on Yom Kippur was assumed to be a shtar mo'uchar, when the lender who couldn't find a shtar had a sofer write a shover for the borrower who paid back in full, which reminds us, Rav Huna Brei Rav Yeshua says, that even according to Rav Yossi, that we write receipts, this is only for partial payment, but for the entire debt, we do not write a shover, so he can refuse to pay if the lender claims to have lost the shtar. However, the Gemara concludes that we do write a shover on the entire amount, as evidenced by an incident in which Rabbi Abba owed money to Rabbi Yitzchak bar Yosef, who'd lost his shtar, but offered to write a shofar for the full amount. So in the lender's messy, chaotic office, where a shtar whose recorded date fell on Yom Kippur was assumed to be a shtar mo'uchar, when the lender couldn't find a shtar had a sofer write a shofar for the borrower who paid back in full, the sofer made sure to leave the shofar undated because he knew that the shtar had been post-dated, which reminds us, we follow Rav Safra's policy to tell Sofrim that if they know the loan document's date, they should record it in the shtar, and if not, they should leave the shofar undated. So whenever the lender will present the shtar, the borrower can counter with the shofar. So once again, in the lender's messy, chaotic office, where a shtar whose recorded date fell on Yom Kippur was assumed to be a shtar mo'uchar, when the lender couldn't find a shtar had a sofer write a shofar for the borrower who paid back in full, the sofer made sure to leave the shofar undated because he knew that the shtar had been post-dated. All right, so now it's time for a four-block back Hazara. Daf Kuf Samach Zayin. So the simmer Daf Kuf Samach Zayin is cases in a warehouse. So here goes. The man who was asked to sign for the delivery of cases in the warehouse, that must be on daf Kuf Samach Zayin. The man who was asked to sign for the delivery of cases in a warehouse and refused to sign the bottom of a blank page, which reminds us, Abai said, the one who needs to show his signature in basin to authenticate his signature in a document should not show it by signing at the end of a blank scroll, for perhaps someone else will find it and write above his signature that he's owed money by the signer. Such a shtar would be accepted because a Mishnah states, Hotzi lov ksav yado shu chayvo. If a claim produces a shtar written in the person's hand that he owes him money, the holder of the document can collect from his property. So the man who was asked to sign for the delivery of cases in a warehouse and refused to sign the bottom of a blank page borrowed a pen from the man drafting a shtar in front of just the seller for cases of merchandise, which reminds us, the next Mishnah states, we may write a get for a man even if his wife is not with him because she can be divorced against her will. A receipt for the ksuba payment may be written for the wife even if her husband is not present since the document is only to his benefit and her detriment. The husband pays for both of these documents. Similarly, kosin shtar lulova afu pishein malvi imo. We may write a loan document for a borrower even if the lender is not there since the shtar is to the lender's benefit and the borrower's detriment. But we can only write a shtar for the lender if the borrower is there. So the man who was asked to sign for the delivery of cases in a warehouse and refused to sign the bottom of a blank page, borrowed a pen from the man drafting a shtar in front of Justice Seller for case of merchandise to a man who had no idea but has been known to all in the neighborhood as Yosef Ben Shimon for at least 30 days, which reminds us. The Gemara asks, perhaps someone will establish a false name in another town. For example, Yosef ben Shimon, have a get written there and bring it to another town to enable the true Yosef ben Shimon's wife to remarry unlawfully. It answers that Rav said, anyone whose name was established for 30 days were not concerned about him, that it's not his true name, because no one would maintain such a deception for so long. Daf Kuf Samaches, so the Simur Daf Kuf Samaches is a carbon Pesach. So here goes. The Tzumah Rabban, who easily recognized which sheep was his carbon Pesach, that must be on Daf Kuf Samaches. The Tzumah Rabban, who easily recognized which sheep was his carbon Pesach, but needed to take an Amar Arts with him to make sure they didn't switch the woman at his wedding, which reminds us, Rav Yirmiyah was signed as an aide on a receipt, and the woman named in the receipt claimed it was not written for her. Rav Yirmiyah told her that he had initially also told the other aide that it was not she, but they replied that she had aged. Abai ruled that although an aide cannot retract from earlier testimony, Rav Yirmiyah can retract and testify that it is the woman in the receipt, because the Tzumah Rabban is not accustomed to carefully examine women, so he's believed that he now recognizes her after looking more carefully. Abai said a Tzumah Rabban who goes to marry should take an Amaretz with him, because perhaps he'll switch with another woman and take her from him and he'll not realize. So the Tzumah Rabban who easily recognized which sheep was his carbon Pesach, but need to take an Amaretz with him to make sure they didn't switch the woman at his wedding, was approached by a man who asked if Asmachta Kanya in the case of a partially paid shtar, which reminds the Gemara brings Malchokas if Asmachta Kanya regarding a partially paid shtar, such as in the case when one who paid part of his debt and deposited his shtar with a third party and told him, if I do not pay the remaining balance by such and such a date, give the shtar back to the lender, which would allow him to collect the entire amount again. If the date arrived and he didn't pay, Rav Yossi says he should give the shtar back, and Rav Yehuda says he should not. So the Tzumah Rabban, who easily recognized which sheep was his carbon Pesach, but need to take an Amaretz with him to make sure they didn't switch the woman at his wedding, was approached by a man who asked if Asmachta Kanya, in the case of a partially paid shtar, whose own carbon Pesach had a partially erased shtar in its mouth that needed to be replaced, which reminds us, the next Mishnah states if someone's shtar was inadvertently erased, he should bring Edom who can testify by the contents of the shtar and come before Beis Din, Ba'osin Lokium, and they produce a document of validation form and write, the shtar of Ploni ben Ploni was erased, which was written on such and such a date, and Ploni were its Edom. Kuf Samach Tes, so the Simur Daf Kuf Samach Tes is a cast. So here goes. The buyer with a broken arm who claimed to lose a shtar and had a new one written on his cast, that must be on Daf Kuf Samach Tes. The buyer with a broken arm who claimed to lose his shtar and had a new one written on his cast specifying that it was without achrayas, which reminds us, a replacement shtar for a sale must be written without achrayas to prevent double compensation. So the buyer with a broken arm who claimed to lose his shtar and had a new one written on his cast specifying that it was without achrayas, because achrayas tohosoferhu, which reminds us, Gemara discusses how the replacement shtar is written without achrayas, since achrayas tohosoferhu. So the buyer of the broken arm who claimed to lose his shtar and had a new one written on his cast, specifying that it was without achrayas, because achrayas tohosoferhu, was surprised to learn that by handing his get-well-soon gift shtar back to the giver, he caused the gift to be returned, which reminds the Gemara discusses if returning a shtar matan returns the gift, which is based on Malchokas if osios niknas memasira, if letters, meaning a shtar, can be acquired through handing over to another person, so returning the shtar returns the gift. Daf Kuf Ein, so the Simur Daf Kuf Ein is an old man with a cane. Kuf Ein, Ka'ein. So here goes. The old man who came to Beis Din and furiously banged his cane, that must be on Daf Kuf Ein, Ka'ein. So the old man who came into Beis Din and furiously banged his cane on the floor, insisting the field is his because he has a shtar and a chazaka, which reminds us, it was taught in the Brayso, Habali dom b'shtar b'chazaka, if someone occupying a property comes to litigate with a shtar and claims he established a chazaka of 3 years, Rebbe says that nidom b'chazaka, he's judged with a chazaka. And Rav Shimon Gamliel says he's judged with a shtar. Rabbi Avina says, their argument concerns a shtar which has no edim signed on it. Rabbi holds like Rabbi Elazar that edim asir karti, the witnesses to a get's delivery, empower it to sever a marriage or any shtar's effectiveness, and signatures are not required. Therefore, Rabbi says he can also use a shtar to prove his ownership if edim attest to his delivery, or he can use his chazaka. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel holds like Rabbi Meir that edim chasima karti, witnesses who sign a shtar empower it to sever a marriage, so a shtar without signatures is invalid, and he must prove his chazaka to establish ownership. So the old man who came into basin and furiously banged his cane on the floor, insisting the field is his because he has a shtar and a chazaka, was forced to bring in the shtar even though he could have won with just a chazak, which reminds the Gemara provides a final explanation of the machlokas. But levarer kamifligei, they argue if one must corroborate a claim he made unnecessarily. The cases where the occupant brought aiding that he occupied the property for 3 years, which awards him the property even without a shtar, but he additionally claimed he has a shtar. Rebbe holds that since he claimed to have the shtar, he must produce it to win the case, and his chazaka is insufficient. Rebbe Shimon Gamliel holds that he can litigate his case with his chazaka alone and is not required to substantiate his superfluous claim that he has a shtar. So the old man who came into basin and furiously banged his cane on the floor, insisting the field is his because he has a shtar and a chazaka, was forced to bring in the shtar even though he could have won with just the chazaka, and was interrupted by an old lender banging his cane, telling the borrower to take a receipt for his partial payment rather than write the lender a new shtar, which reminds us, the next Mishnah states, Misha paro mixas chobo, if one paid part of his debt and wants to prevent the lender from collecting the entire amount again, Rav Yehuda says, yachlif, he should exchange the shtar for a new one using the original date and record only the remaining debt. Rav Yossi says he should write a shovar, a receipt for the paid amount. Rav Yehuda objected, but this results in the borrower having to guard his receipt from the mice because if it's destroyed, the lender can collect the entire debt. Rav Yossi replied, Kachiyafulo, that is fitting for the lender, v'lo yera kocho shozeh, and his position should not be weakened by having to replace his shtar. All right, so now it's time to conclude our pop quiz of 10 questions. Number one, which stuff do you discuss if one must corroborate claims he made unnecessarily? That's on Duff. Kufine. Good. Number two, which stuff do you discuss combining eid echo b'ksa v'eid echo b'peh? That's on Duff. Kuf samachhe. Good. Number three, which daf do the machlokas if asmachta kanya regarding a partially paid shtar? That's on daf. Kuf samaches. Good. Number four, which daf do you discuss a shtar whose recorded date corresponds to Shabbos or Yom Kippur? That's on daf. Kufainov. Good. Number five, which daf do you discuss if returning a shtar matan returns the gift, which is based on the machlokas whether osias niknos memasira? That's on daf. Kuf Samachtes. Good. Number six, which daf do you machlokes if the shtar of a partially paid debt is replaced or a shovar is written? That's on daf. Kufine. Good. Number seven, which daf do you have a policy that if a sofer does not know the date of a shtar, they should leave the shovar undated so whenever the lender will present the shtar, the borrower can counter with the shovar? That's on daf. Kufainov. Good. Number eight, which daf do machlokes in a case where one requests a get pashut and the sofer writes a get makusher, or vice versa? That's on daf. Kuf samachay. Good. Number nine, which daf do we learn only one missing letter can be learned from the beginning of a shtar, but not two letters? That's on daf. Kuf samachvav. Good. Number 10, which daf do we discuss writing a shofar for an entire debt and the rationale for writing a shofar? That's on daf. Kufainov. Excellent. That concludes today's shiur. This is Rabbi Avraham Goldar from Zichu wishing you a great day and great learning.